Dun, dun, dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
You just
now,
know.
Now, here's the final use of the Force theme I was mentioning as a genuine hero theme at the end of this, which is just glorious.
Mm-hmm.
Watching Obi-Wan and Yoda just go to town on these guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. I suppose this should be a time where we should discuss the politics of...
Speaking of which?
Speaking of,
crap. My ringtone.
I think we're going to have to...
What?
Delete that.
What?
I don't want to get sued. How old are you?
What? The ringtone I downloaded is legal.
Yeah, I guess we haven't heard that theme since then.
Yeah, seriously.
Sorry about that.
The politics in this and how it is a lot of people.
What did I say during E.T. about like people that let their cell phones go off during movies? I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's happened during professional commentaries. Yeah. I mean,
it has actually.
But
turn that bad boy down.
Yeah, what I'm surprised is how well the political element worked in these three movies. Mm-hmm. You know, he actually kept it going and kept it flowing.
And
kept it interesting.
You were almost able to follow. I think at the beginning it was a little confusing as to, you know, what exactly was happening.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
You know?
It's really not until you start to get into episode two.
Right.
You really get into.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
But actually, that's not what I was referring to. What I was referring to was the inference that a lot of people made how Lucas was drawing on modern times for the politics in this movie. Particular.
That was a sweet move, the behind the back block thing.
Yeah.
Sorry, but anyway. Yeah, the line that Natalie Portman has here, which is probably the best line of the movie, not necessarily my favorite, but probably the best, when she says, you know, this is how Liberty dies, she's under applause.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of takes into account everything that's kind of happening, you know, now.
I believe, weren't you? When you talked about Star Wars in your blog, didn't you mention, you're the one that mentioned Obi-Wan's line later, where it's like only a Sith deals in absolutes, and
sort of
equating that to, you know, rhetoric we've heard over the past few years.
Right. And the same thing with the Emperor's words. Right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, I've been attacked. So we're going to create, you know, this big empire, and so they're not going to be able to touch us anymore, you know,
mm-hmm.
That sort of thing.
Sorry, we got a little political on you, but it was something that brought up, and that brought up we hadn't talked about yet. Although the fact that, like Ron hinted at one point, you know, a little bit earlier, the fact that, you know, I sort of viewed, especially after episode two, these movies were more sort of not so much like just straight action adventure movies, but sort of like political.
Yeah. There's some geopolitical
thrillers,
stuff going on there.
You know.
Yeah, with the parallels to, you know, past political, you know,
present political.
Yeah.
I mean, in a lot of people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Current political issues.
Events.
Yeah.
That's your boy, man.
Yep. How do we feel about having seen him in episode 2 and 3? How do we feel about Hayden Christensen as Anakin? I mean, they probably could have gotten a better person, but I mean, I think just
overall,
essence,
I think he was
capturing the essence.
I think he was effective in the role.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's just sometimes it's just too much of the whiny baby.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, just you do sort of especially see that. You do see a lot of that in this one.
Right. And I mean, you know, he
and
was,
in episode two,
I don't
well.
Have that much of a problem with it.
I don't have a huge problem with it, which is why I haven't mentioned it, you know.
Yeah.
But, again, not that he was the worst choice, not that he's a bad choice. I'm sure there was a better choice out there for him, mm-hmm. and you know, and I think his interpretation of the character could have been a little bit better, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know,
but again, it's shaped by the writing and right. the directing, also fundamentally
right.
speaking.
Right.
I really love this scene between Padme and Obi-Wan. I mean.
This is such a soap opera.
It is. I mean, the whole thing is, for crying out loud.
Yeah, right.
But,
that line,
it,
like,
really.
Anakin is the father, isn't he?
But, I mean, it's. But, I
like it. I like it. I'm just saying it's. I buy it, too. It is.
I mean, we don't get too many super soap opera moments in Star Wars.
No, you really don't.
I mean, it is kind of a soap opera overall. You know, but
I mean, that's the nature of the story, too. Yeah. I mean, it's like a doomed love story, for crying out loud.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know.
Well, I like the one piece of criticism I read when the movie originally was released, and they compared it to Titanic, in that Lucas was able to make a foregone conclusion, you know, thrilling.
Yeah.
The same thing,
right.
like, you know, Cameron was
Cameron did the same thing with Titanic.
Yeah.
Right. No, I mean, I certainly think that's a valid point.
Yeah, maybe we're gonna wipe them out.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know it's a man, but you know. He is really bad.
But the thing is, I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, the dialogue is not exactly like, I mean, it's not genius dialogue.
But this is up to the
this is not bad dialogue.
This is not bad dialogue, but it's like, the point of it is that they understand what the other person is thinking.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they understand, and they understand what this means. And I think the music helps that a lot. I love this cue.
Mm-hmm.
I love this cue in the music.
I like seeing Anakin's emotions here. There is a lot. I do. You hear a lot of criticism about like him being way too, you know, wearing his heart on his sleeve way too much. But
he's conflicted.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, even throughout this, I mean, even up until the end,
mm-hmm.
he is conflicted.
I guess some people are saying that, you know, there's been ways to do dark and conflicted without quite dramatizing it so much. You know, the way he does. Not that it's bad. But you know,
yeah.
there are other ways that
yeah.
can be done
mm-hmm.
that may have been better.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of good examples to compare to. I'm really trying to think. I'm not sure if I really have any.
Well, Malcolm Reynolds and Serenity would be you know, that'd be a hint. That'd be a idea. Anyway. Just a Nathan Fillion. In Serenity.
In a different way, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
in a different vein, of course.
Being fundamentally heroic. I mean, Anakin's a tragic figure.
Mm-hmm.
Mal is a heroic figure. It's
mm-hmm.
two different types.
But
of
there is a sense of confliction.
I mean, that's certainly a good example in the fact that you do have dark and conflicted, but it's in a different context.
I'm still not done talking about Serenity. We need to, you know. Wow. Speaking of which, I'm still not done talking.
Do we need to do a second commentary?
We need to do a commentary for like for the message or something. You know. Close up.
I suppose you're right.
You know, just because.
Yeah.
Dave, would you agree with me on that one? Yeah.
Dave's like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, more Firefox
on there. Uh-oh. You know what that means. That's real shit, too, man. It's nice.
Mm. Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing is, though, I mean, this whole... Really, I mean, there is a whole lot of melodrama in this story anyway. I mean...
But again, like, you know, but, like, you know, going back to, like, Spider-Man, like, just the fact... The melodrama in Spider-Man 1 versus the melodrama in Spider-Man 2. It's just there's no context.
Well, again,
you know, like, the melodrama in this versus the melodrama in, you know, episode two.
Mm. Yeah. But I mean, well, I mean,
there's no context. There's just like, you know, it's
different types of melodrama too. You know, I mean, I really don't want to touch Spider-Man
with
a because we
cow 10-foot cow.
Yeah,
that's like they're just demons that you and I are still.
Yeah,
then Return of the King.
There's yours killing some people. I want to go see. See what was up. I can't have the daddy and my baby killing people. Like
she's such a good actress.
Yeah.
We are unworthy to have her in this series. We are just.
We really are.
We are just.
Or just in movies, period.
Yeah.
Hollywood is unworthy.
Yeah.
I think we are worthy.
Yeah.
We.
I know. I'm worthy.
Hollywood, they're not worthy.
I'm ready to get some of this. Oh, wait. Are we doing a commentary?
Yes. Yes.
These don't get cut.
Yeah.
And
do you feel her, through the writing and through her acting, do you feel her, you know, I'm seeing, you know, this bad side of him. I can't be with him anymore. Did you feel this? Did you feel that happening?
Does it
flow smoothly for you?
Does for me?
Yeah, Brian.
I'm, yeah.
I don't know why, but it does, so whatever. I'm talking to Brian.
I mean, watching it now, I mean, yes and no.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some times where I think it works more than others.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think once he's sort of solidified for her,
right,
his views, I buy it after that. Before that, I'm a little hesitant to say, yeah, it's really, really great, you know.
That's Spike. He's dark and conflicted.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah.
Or Angel.
Angel.
Yeah.
There's dark and conflicted for you.
We still need to do that musical commentary.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm so sorry.
Look at this.
See, like that. Like, up until this point, I mean, I
really... I love that cutaway to...
Yeah.
I love that cut to Obi-Wan.
Yeah,
that's just,
right.
That's just so
yeah.
Powerful. I remember reading about this moment and thinking, wow, that's going to be really disturbing.
Yeah.
Wasn't...
it's just a little bit too much, a little whiny baby there. Just a little bit too much. You know,
but that's the thing, you know, that's what makes... Because he's such a sympathetic character.
Right. And it's almost just... Just his voice, you know, it just didn't quite.
Yeah.
His performance is not quite conveying.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost there, but it's not quite conveying, you know, the amount of anger he should have. You know, it should have been like a click of sort of a mad, insane anger, which would make him not think enough to start choking.
I mean,
the mother
again,
of his child with the child in her body.
Yeah.
You know.
But I mean, again, it's one of those things where I mean, he's just torn up. I mean,
this
was a good kid. It's like.
Right.
You know, not necessarily conveyed in a good performance, but
right.
I mean,
I mean,
he was a feeling kid. I mean, he, but it's like,
and it almost works.
You really see how
he brought hope to those
up.
Who had none.
Here we go. We passed the line that you mentioned earlier. The if you're not with us,
right.
You're with me, you're my enemy. And
mm-hmm.
Leading up to
I'm
going to
pay
moment,
for that on
off, oh boy, are
you will
ever.
Try.
And just a phenomenal piece of music.
Right.
Yeah. That
old and just Nick Galliard's work on the, you know, just like his.
You know, but supposedly they did do a lot of, you know, fighting and working on it themselves.
Oh, yeah.
They've been working on it for a long time. And, you know, in terms of how smoothly everything flows, I can see that.
Oh, yeah.
I was still hoping for something a little bit bigger and better.
I love that.
Right, yeah, that got a lot of... That got
a
lot
reaction.
Of
oh, yeah.
That's just
because it's like, okay, so...
Right, yeah.
No, just lay down.
a little upset about that, are we?
No, this, the mother of all cheesy lines is coming up here, in my opinion. Just the.
And I love the way he reprises music from Empire in the Yoda Sidious style.
And then a little bit later the Duel of the Fates.
Yeah. I mean, I just love this piece of music. It's just astonishing.
Because like it exists in two forms on the soundtrack. You know, you have the Battle of the Heroes track, and then
the quote single track, which actually appears later in this sequence, but I mean, you know, and then the beginning of this, which is. I think I know the line.
This is the line right here. This just. Not this one, but.
Yeah, I figured.
It's Yoda's line.
Yeah, that little green thing was actually not that bad.
Yeah, that was actually.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
So like
the delivery.
The
here it is. Or not yet.
Oh, not anything to say about it.
I have.
I have.
I love it.
Old
just going for the cliche here and just absolutely.
Turn around here.
Turn it around because of the Yoda speak. I know Kevin Smith actually had some really good things to say about this fight in his review. How believable he was, you know, given the fact that it's basically like Yoda and like this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how believable it is.
Well, I just remember reading Kevin Smith's review. Wasn't it posted on Ain't Cool?
It was linked to Ain't Cool, but I think it was posted
on his website.
Already at ViewSkew.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I do remember reading that though, and like genuinely getting excited about the movie.
Oh yeah.
Because, like, you know, I mean, if Kevin Smith liked it, because, like...
I mean, he has some decent things to say about episode one. Not a lot, but, I mean, he did.
I mostly heard criticism coming from him about episode one, but...
I know he said...
I think that was cool. This is a cool image right there, you know?
Yeah.
Lucas is always going up with these types of things, and it really works well right there. I think that's pretty sweet.
I mean... You know, this is something where it's like, I really loved it, and I really wanted to sort of hit the point home that I really, part of the reason I love this is, I mean, I know that they don't succeed. You know going in.
Well,
if you see the original trilogy, you know they don't succeed, because the Empire does take over, but it's just, it's damn inspiring to watch them try anyway.
The idea behind
you get the impression that Yoda knows they're fighting a losing battle here.
Well, the idea here is that both fights are equal matches, but you know the side that wins out primarily only because of circumstance.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the reason the Emperor wins is because, you know, of circumstance. You know, it's the same. You know, I mean, yeah. I mean. You know, Anakin loses this battle, but, you know, he survives because of circumstance.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
Well, he survives because of the fact that, you know, Obi-Wan can't bring himself to kill him.
Right.
Well, I thought that Obi-Wan thought he was leaving
Obi-Wan,
him for dead.
Yeah.
But
I mean, he could have chopped his head off.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's sort of what I was getting
at. Right.
I mean, you know, it's like, the man, he left the man, you know.
Right.
You know,
I thought this was a pretty cool scene. You know,
yeah, it was.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
As if it's like a playground, he's just throwing these things around. You know.
And the use of Duel of the Fates is brilliant right here.
Now Yoda's brain pulling the gloves off. Just like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's show you what I can do here.
That's the thing. It's an equal match.
Yeah.
But... I think the use of the music here is even more powerful than it was in episode one.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, you get the impression that the stakes are considerably higher in this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, in episode one, you knew there were two movies left to go.
And you knew that Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan were going to win the battle.
Or, I mean, at least Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
I mean, you knew by the soundtrack album that Qui-Gon was going to lose.
Right.
But,
yeah, that dude really is insane. He's like,
yeah,
hanging glass fingers in there and laughing like madman.
So, yeah.
Yeah, one of the ideas that I find interesting is that, you know, even though we get sort of the conflict between good and evil with Anakin, sometimes the good and evil is pretty stark in this movie. Like, you know, like the Emperor has like almost no humanity about him.
Yeah,
like, he's just kind of an evil guy, you know, and Yoda is kind of a good dude. He's too strict, you know.
Yeah,
and maybe blind, kind of like some, you know. Some more of the older, more religious type people.
But well, that's the thing that I think, I believe it was Harry Knowles brought up in his review, the fact that it's like, you know, the Jedi just hold on to this completely dogmatic way
right.
of
mm-hmm.
thinking that it's like, and they're completely blind to
what's going
really
on
the
inside
conflict
of Anakin's head.
Is going
yeah.
on.
And that's the thing, Palpatine picks up on that.
Yeah.
He's totally, you know, he's totally...
And maybe that's
and they don't see any fault of their own in that.
Right. And so
I do remember Harry Knowles acknowledging that.
Yeah,
I do. That's a good point you brought up.
So maybe that's where you see a little bit of humanity, you know, or at least some of the sensitivity or empathy used for bad reasons. But,
yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Of the Emperor, where you see almost not necessarily evil. You know, but the sort of the blindness that leads to lack of empathy, you know, in guys like Yoda. So maybe
exactly.
there's a little bit of that there. But, you know, mm-hmm. My original point was just to make that, you know, sometimes the good and evil is so stark that it's almost
mm-hmm.
sort of immature in a way. You know, these are the good guys, these are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
know, and with only just a little bit of conflict thrown in there. But, you know, I guess overall there is more conflict than, you know, you would originally think
mm-hmm.
in all the characters.
Yeah. Boy, I really thought we weren't going to be able to stop talking during this, but it's like...
Well,
again, I mean, there some of these scenes, there's just not really much of anything to say.
Mm-hmm. What was really scary about that scene right there was that the way that Yoda just looked... Because, you know, Yoda's always kind of a small dude, so, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, right there, he kind of just looked like a little child. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I think that's...
And I'm wondering if that was intentional or if that was just, you know, the way it was animated. But
I wonder if that was a little intentional.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that, I mean, you know, you've just seen him really get beaten down pretty hard by Palpatine.
Right.
So
we're seeing him kind of at his weakest, and he kind of looks like
yeah.
a lost child almost. You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some hot stuff.
Mm-hmm. At least you haven't been burned to a cinder. I don't really...
Yeah.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I know they try to make the battle, you know, big and fantastic, but sometimes it just seems like a bit much, you know.
Yeah, like sort of the leapfrog between like all these different things,
right,
you know.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like
yeah.
you know a lot of that is like Jedi strength, but at the same time, it's like I can't remember who. It seemed like somebody I saw sort of I read or. Heard talking about it, sort of, it reminded them sort of like sort of Frogger jumping from all these different things, you know, just trying not to sink.
Right.
Like, I can't remember who that was.
For me, it's like
but
the second Matrix, that battle, you know, the brawl that everybody thought was
oh, yeah.
really amazing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was just kind of, you know, it was things, it was just kind
it
of
was
big,
way
just
too
to
digital
yeah. right.
and sort of artificial to
yeah.
really
I get that feeling somewhere
weight.
Here.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, I think it's what sells it for me is like you know the you know, the distress of the clothing, the makeup, the kind of, you know, just like, that's what tells it for me, you know, because, like, yeah, the effects do give it a bit of an artificial feeling, but you know, still,
we ever going to do those movies, the Matrix sequels? I mean, I know I mention it every once in a while. It's like, I just get, like, looks like, are you nuts?
I think we more or less...
Possibly. I'm not completely right.
I think our feelings on the second two movies are relatively universal. I think, you know... I think the discussion you guys had, anyway, on the first one was, you know, irreverent enough, I think. Really, those are my feelings on it.
That's an easy cop out.
Those are my feelings.
I just thought I'd say,
you know, that much of a badass, but sorry.
Yeah. You wish you were bad. See, I mean, look at that.
That's just.
You go taking the head with them. I mean, it's like.
He can take the head right now. Just take it back.
Yeah. But I mean, Ron, I mean, I know, Dave, I'm talking about something you're not too familiar with, but I mean, it sort of goes back to the end of season 5 of Buffy, where, you know, it's like, you have Buffy, you know, he could just as easily kill the bad guy, you know, but he's at his weak, they're at the weakest at that moment, and she just can't do it, because she's a hero, you know.
Oh, yeah,
like,
I get what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying not to spoil anything, if for anybody. But
what are the characters that? What were the names of that dual character?
Glory and Ben.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute, Ben is Glory? And Glory's. It's gonna be worth it.
Yeah.
Ow.
Sorry. I mean, you can tell that Obi-Wan is, you know, really cannot bear to watch this. Too. I mean,
this is a really.
You can really see he can't stand to watch this, and it's like, you know.
I almost can't stand to watch this.
It's pretty brutal.
It's pretty graphic.
It's like, good lord. For Star Wars, that's graphic.
This is the only Star Wars movie you get PG-13 rating. Although, actually, I think if you were to make it now, I think Empire would probably get PG-13. Might.
Maybe.
Maybe. That's an interesting point to bring up, but, you know...
I think Jedi would take it back to the PG realm, but...
It's amazing that some of the more, you know, adult movies, you know, seem to be going from an R down to PG-13, but, you know, some of the more kids movies, people are even more strict about.
Well, we're just now watching Harry Potter go into, you know, PG-13.
And Harry and Roger Ebert actually was wondering, you know, now that, you know, Harry Potter, you know, because of the fact that the story gets progressively darker than that, it's like he's wondering, by movie 7, are we going to see again to the realm of the R-rated movie?
I hope not.
No, I mean,
I can't imagine
judging
that.
Judging from the books.
I can't imagine being that dark.
I was hesitant about Goblet of Fire being PG-13, but
I thought it was complete. But it's completely justified.
It is. I just didn't want to see this really great family series, you know, go. But, you know, it's necessary if you're going to you're going to keep it alive. You're going to keep it fresh.
Emperor's theme.
There's
the transport ship thing after your
shuttle.
Yeah, shuttle. That looks like that hurts.
Yeah.
It's never going to heal if you don't stop picking.
We got a burn dude. It's pretty nasty.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen anything quite that level in Star Wars before.
But again, it's necessary.
Right. So, you know, I
wonder if this was inspired by 2001, the look of the moon in 2001. Oh, it was. It certainly looks similar. We're good.
Yeah, don't disturb him. We just got a clip here.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take that news. That's good news.
Yeah,
the only good news
alive.
I've had all day, but hey, you know. Oh yeah, that's completely 2001. My God, still need to get you guys to watch that.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. We still haven't seen 2001, have we?
There are a lot of movies you guys haven't seen.
List number two.
Okay, yeah. So we're gonna tread cautiously for this last 20 minutes or so. I love the visuals in this.
The
sun's already transformed from, you know, sort of the bright city it was into, you know, this dark city that you see in all the other things, the original.
Now, who buys this, the fact that she essentially dies of a broken heart, quote unquote? You know, it's just like, I mean,
That's just a little too far out there. I mean, you know.
I mean, given the context it's presented in, that's what makes it believable.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is kind of a story being told. You know, we're sort of in a fantastical storytelling mode. Okay, mm-hmm. That's fine. I mean, I didn't say it wasn't believable, but it's just a little bit too cheap. Mm-hmm.
I have to say, I mean, I heard a lot of praise for the cross-cutting between these. You know, the death of Padme, the rebirth of Anakin, really, is Darth Vader.
I thought that was well done.
No, I thought it was really good, too.
That looks like it hurts.
Oh, my God.
He's just laying on there, too.
I'm going to just let him die.
Give him a couple painkillers. Maybe one.
I can't remember who brought it up, but the idea that it's like, you know, you have all these odd names in the Star Wars universe, and yet the two that she picks are like Luke and Leia.
Right.
I mean, not exactly, you know.
She was put on the spot. She's dying for the very long time, and her husband tried to kill her earlier.
She probably had the names picked out in advance, though, which is why she came up with them so quickly. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing, though. They didn't know that they were twins until just now. Isn't that the idea?
She could have. I mean, they didn't know, but, I mean, they sort of tried to keep it. The Klingons, the mask.
We actually get to see what he sees.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the first time.
This is probably my favorite effect right here, is where the breathing affects the smoke. That was done digitally.
Yeah.
And I love that, you know, it's such a subtle touch, but it's probably my favorite effect, because you don't know it's a visual effect. Right here with the, right there.
Wow, I never really thought of that. I love, this is my favorite line in the entire movie.
We're still good in him?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that it's like, you really, because of the fact that I always felt that you saw where Leia got her strength and got her character from Padme, but I mean, you get the sense that Luke got her idealism.
Mm-hmm.
And just in that one line, you know, and that's sort of why he believes in Jedi, that they're still good in him. That he senses it. You do sort of feel that, and that's why I love that line.
I like it better with the arms down rather than the
shoulders. As opposed to the arms being up by his side, like they were in the original teaser.
Right.
Yeah.
What you going, dude? Dead. No.
This thing,
we just go steadily downhill.
Yeah.
I believe this.
I like everything up until the end of this.
Right.
I was going into this scene.
I knew that there was going to be a moment like this, and I was kind of cringing because of that. But like, then we get to this. No, we get to this, and I'm like, I believe that.
It could have been worse.
It could have been a lot worse,
but that hurt a little bit.
Because I remember, because you got to see it like a couple days before us, because you work in a movie theater.
Yeah, and I got to screen it.
And you were saying that's like the one moment that like, you know, you question the most.
I mean,
and I went into this because of that.
But I question it because I've seen that type of scene parodied on The Simpsons dozens of times. Mm.
They parodied that moment on South Park pretty ingeniously recently.
Oh God!
The first episode of this new season of South Park, they parodied that moment like brilliantly. I mean, I love the interlacing of Leia's theme in this scene.
Yeah.
Like, and just the use of her theme throughout the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so wonderful.
Oh, I mean, the rest of this movie is astonishing. It's like you see all the different, you know, faiths of the characters and, you know.
And this is a reference to a scene that never made it into even the, you know, extended material. Wasn't there?
Well, I don't remember that they.
I remember them saying something about their.
They mentioned it, but I mean, I thought there was some confusion as to whether they actually
intended on never actually. Well, no, I think there was intention to film it, but they never just got around it. That's I think that's what it is.
And you have 3PO's fate sealed in that one line.
And it's done with just a really clever, you know, way.
And Anthony Daniels and Kenny Baker, who we haven't mentioned throughout this entire commentary, the only two actors who are in all six movies.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Their characters based on characters in the Kira Kurosawa classic, The Hidden Fortress.
I didn't see that movie.
Which if you see it, I mean, the reference is completely clear.
It didn't bring him very much good fortune, did it?
No.
A little trinket made a rich portion of it.
I mean, this is just the virtuoso writing by John Williams, all of the interweaving of the themes and everything. Just amazing.
And the Peter Cushing look-alike here?
Yeah, digitally done.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't digitally, it was all makeup.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Huh. I thought it was all digital, but I don't know.
I'm pretty sure it was makeup.
Okay, well.
This plant's a goner.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. There isn't really much to say here, is there?
No, not really. I mean, you know, you're just watching.
This is some pretty good music coming out of there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I love
that Leia's. I was just saying, I love that Leia's like wide awake, and then when you see Luke, he's asleep, and I just think that's a neat little detail.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm glad we got to see the Bail Organa character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we could have not seen him, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Work, but I'm glad we got to see him. And I'm glad that, you know, the actor that played him did a pretty good job.
Yeah, Jimmy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
From NYPD Blue.
He used to be there, too, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Uncle Owen and Aunt Blue.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter scene, as it were. Delivering Harry Potter's baby, basically.
Harkening back to the first one here.
Yeah. both in the music and the visual.
And this is just the perfect visual to end it on, I think.
Yeah. And the idea that, you know, it's like episode 4 really is about a new hope.
Mm-hmm. Probably the cheesiest title, though, but...
Well, I mean...
Alright, so we ending it, Rush?
I pretty much said my piece, I think.
Alright, cool. Dave.
Wow. That'd be you.
Yeah, no, again, there's things I like about the movie, things I didn't like about this movie. You know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, but overall, you know, I mean, I have seen this movie quite a few times, and so, you know, overall, it's decent, and especially especially in comparison to the other two. So, you know, not my favorite of all the Star Wars movies. Probably my favorite of the last three, of course. But
my second favorite, Empire, obviously, and just better Cap. You know, again, I apologize for in advance, but, you know, better Capper than Return of the King, I think, and just favorite movie 2005, and so, yeah. Brian, take it away. Take us home.
I really don't have a whole lot left to say either, really. I mean, I've sort of embellished on some of the views that I have on this movie throughout this commentary, but really, I summed everything up. I really felt like I had to stay on this commentary in my review, which, I mean, you know, you read it on the website.
Have we acknowledged that the original trilogy is finally going to be released on DVD?
No, we never did, but yes, as of a couple of days ago, we got word that Lucasfilm is releasing the original theatrical prints of the trilogy.
Unfortunately, it's not going to be in a, you know... I heard, isn't it? It's not going to be in like surround sound or anything like
no,
that.
No, they're doing it in like mono,
right?
Or stereo, right? Is what it is. But oh yeah, we forgot. Keisha Castle Hughes was in this from Whale Rider. Mm. She had that role at the end in Padme's funeral procession. Mm. She was the Queen of Naboo. I forgot about that. Matthew.
Oh, the lead into is the Battle of Heroes here.
Yeah, and the very end of this credits music is harkens back to A New Hope,
mm-hmm.
actually.
With the throne room music?
Yeah. But really, I mean, I did sum up everything I said about, mm-hmm. wanted to say about this in the review. I mean, feel free to read it on the website. It's a long read, but I think it's worth it. I really did try to encapsulate, you know, talk about this, the movie's larger context in the...
Did you mention in that review, Brian, about how Lucas was talking about, you know, in terms of, like, poetry, you know, ending, you know, having specific scenes in this one and specific, you know, points in this one that match the original trilogies and, you know, sort of, like, stanzas and all that other stuff? I think you talked about that in an interview, you know, but...
I do believe I remember mentioning that.
Right.
I don't think I mentioned in the review.
Okay, I think it
is a good point. I mean, yeah, we talked about how the end, the last shot resembles the great iconic shot in episode 4 where Luke is looking at the sunset.
But he does that. He does that all over.
He does that a lot,
and it's hard to just pick out each section. But you know that's all over there.
Mm-hmm. Peter Jackson was standing for Hayden Christensen. Probably not that Peter Jackson, but different one. But no, I mean, you know, I really, you know, there's not a whole lot left I have to say on this. Really, I mean, mm-hmm. series is over. You know, some people think maybe one day George Lucas will do episodes 7 through 9. I don't see it ever happening.
No.
That was always just a rumor anyway.
He was talking about an episode 0, though, with Yoda. I've heard talking about that.
Oh my God.
I never heard about that. You can't be serious. I mean, I know they've got a live-action series in development that sort of fills in some of the blanks between episode 3 and 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
do we really need that though?
And
no.
Didn't they also have
there's gonna be
some more Clone Wars.
Which I wouldn't mind.
No, I wouldn't mind.
They did an excellent job on it.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't mind seeing some more Clone Wars. I mean, if everyone remembers the young Indiana Jones TV show.
Unless they get somebody brilliant to work on it.
They actually had some pretty brilliant people working on that show, though. Yeah, I mean, but the if you look back at some of those credits, there's some hardcore.
Yeah,
I think Frank Darabont was one of those guys. He did like Shawshank Redemption and Green Mile.
I'm just saying the overall execution of the show is just. I was just not.
There's one or two scenes that are stuck in my head from that show that I thought were really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a great idea for a TV show.
Oh, yeah.
That was a hands down brilliant idea for a TV show, but it didn't work ultimately.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main reasons I'm not excited about an actual TV
show. Island Tunisia?
Yeah. Star Wars.
Oh, I knew Tunisia. That was the one. Actually,
wow.
I mean, they just shot the plates there. But
We are coming to a close here.
Yeah.
This is Ronnie Haynes.
Hey, my